In some of them, there are only those times when there's just paramahansa or there's just brahmins. How does that work?
It works great.
But I thought the full manifestation of Mahamudra is all the imagination.
See, you have Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, that's to maintain the whole society. But actually, for people to go back to Godhead, you need Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyas. Because those are the spiritual, that's the spiritual social orders. Then you have the other, as technically, is more economic. You understand? Because Brahman makes his money in that way, Kshatriya by taxes, Vaishya by business, Shudra by assisting. But your spiritual status is through the ashram. That's why. Does that make sense? So that's why it's a real thing that can't be played with. You know, you have to be very, very careful about it.
A little bit about the difference between diplomacy
is where you're using it for, let's say, an overall benefit, according to Shastra. Duplicity means, it may still be according to Shastra, but it's more your own purpose, it's overbalanced, it's self-centered. Duplicity will be diplomacy misused.
Diplomacy doesn't necessarily have to be selfish.
No. Duplicity will be selfish. Diplomacy should not be.
Intelligent.
Yeah, it means dupliciousness is diplomacy, but it's misapplied diplomacy. Therefore, it has another name. You know, just like, rotten vegetables are still vegetables, but they're, you know, generally called, you know, compost or garbage or trash or something else, you know, but it's still vegetables. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is diplomacy's, according to Shastra, what is the proper appropriate thing? You may be personally motivated, but the method you're going to use is not self-centered. You may have your own purpose to get done, but in doing it, you don't, by diplomacy, then, you know, others get what they need also.
What if you have the right intention, but you're not diplomatic?
Then you're going to then, just as you means you had the right, how you say, your heart was in the right place, but, you know, so that's the reality, but at the same time is this the reality of actually what method you used. So you can't hide behind it. Means that you had your heart in the right place, even though the method you used was wrong and disturbing. That's for others to take that stand. Oh, well, the heart was in the right place, so even though they did it this way and that.
Okay, so
but if you ever use it, that's nonsense. Oh, my heart's in the right... Well, if your heart's really in the right place, why don't you do things in the right way that won't bother others? Oh, I meant the right thing, you know, but we just destroyed, you know, half the community and everybody's trust in each other and all that. But you take the reaction for that. Maybe your heart was in the right place, but still, if your heart's really in the right place, do the right thing, you know? Well, I took the $100,000 and I tried to invest it. I really wanted to make $1 million out of it so we could build the temple, you know, like that. So, but, you know, it was all lost. So, you know, no one should complain. My heart was in the right place. You know, it's kind of like, if your heart was in the right place, then you'd be sure that the method you use is going to get done what you want. Yeah, this whole thing of the ends justify the means is just, it's a formula of barbarians who do not in any way want to make any adjustment in their own life in the consideration of others. They have what they want to get done and they're going to get it done. And they think it's right, but they don't understand is it may be right, but it's in right in their situation, but there's a bigger perspective where their right fits into another 200 rights. You know?
You also talked about acceptance. You know, when you accept something, then you know how to work with it. So if you don't accept something, then you have to find an alternative, right?
Yeah. Well, the alternative is American, British, Scottish, Irish, Welsh, French, German, you know, like that. Because the Germans don't like the French, but they don't like the English, you know, like that. And so, you know, I mean, says, you know, so which is the right one? You know, if you really want to use diplomacy, then the French are known for being the prominent ones in that. So why we're not using their methods? Why we're using American? You know, when it comes to diplomacy, no one talks about Americans. They're talking about French. You know. Like that. You know. So
I was just trying to apply this in our life, what we've gone through. You know, if you accept the community as it is, and you work with it, that's one.
Yeah, but you start from there, but you have to have a place you're going. Because to work, you have to have a goal. Right? So if you don't know where you're going with the community, how do you work with something if you don't know where you're going? I work with it. I start now. You have a community where there's no trust. Everybody's got a history here, and it goes back 30 years, and like that. So that's what I'm starting with. But what do I want to get it to? You know. And then my process has to be something that actually is the actual line between the two dots. Not a line between this and a different dot. Like that. So that means you have to develop trust. How are you going to develop trust? Just by being touchy-feely? Or what's the real reason that the trust's not there? You know? So that, and then you have to establish your trust. I mean, it's a comment.
All these back to relationships.
That's why Varnasha is just relationships. So this thing where it's taken is an economic thing. Economics is one of four. Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. But Dharma is the central, because from Dharma you'll get Artha. So you don't have to separately look at Artha without, you know, if you're talking Varnashram, you establish Dharma. Artha will come. If the environment is peaceful for economics, businessmen will make money. Right? But even the best businessman can't make, you know, it's just like this. You take the best businessmen in the world and set them down in some banana republic in South America and say, go ahead, make billions. What's he going to do? Unless he, you know, opens a drug cartel like that, you know. But if he actually wants to do regular business, you can't. There's no protection. Right? Okay. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that because the Kshatriyas protect, then the Vaishyas can make money. Right? And where each steps on each other's toe, then there's justice.
I'm just trying to say, whatever you said in class, I'm just trying to apply it to what happened in our community and see, well, are we just...
I would apply the thing...
Just chickening out and just copying out, just being weak, and because you said, you know, success...
You have to try in an environment where you yourself and your nature can get some result. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if your nature isn't so charismatic, people have no faith in you or no trust in you or no respect for you, then how can you stay in such a place and think you're going to incorporate any change?
Yeah, it's like this. It's okay. Someone's a brahmachari. But they kind of have feelings, they would like to have those close feelings between, you know, persons who you can claim as your own. So, though they're the brahmachari, then would they be copping out by becoming a grihastha?
No.
Okay. So, if for your nature and trying to deal with the social environment, if that environment is very different from your nature, then to go to one that would be you'd get more result from, would that be called copying out?
So it's not a sign of weakness, you're saying? It's not a sign of weakness.
It's a sign of intelligence.
No, it's a sign of, it means as long as going from there means it's like the what do you call it? The inchworm.
The inchworm.
That you're putting it down here. If you just jump out, then that's redouncing in the mode of passion. It's too much trouble. But it's a matter, this is too much trouble because actually it's not my nature to be able to function or deal with this kind of situation. Therefore, we're going to another situation. I say yours is more the situation of you know, you have those who have know the science but have no idea what the art is.
It's part of the community, part of the community.
And just, whatever it is, I'm just saying these things there. But the point is you have to create a common group, a common element.
Okay, so the point is, how do relationships work? Now, you said from Dharma everything comes. So we say, okay, we just focus on sadhana bhakti as a group together, then all relationships will automatically.
Sadhana bhakti, yeah, but sadhana bhakti includes the proper etiquette between other devotees.
So would that manifest if we all come together to, you know, to congregate and worship Krishna together?
Yes.
Would it manifest from that? Because some people say,
it'll start from there. It'll start from there, but because you're dealing with a community, which means grihasthas and families, then those elements have to be considered also.
How does it work? Because if someone said, okay, well, you know, we all just get together and worship Krishna and then everything is fine.
Then define what's worship of Krishna. You know what I'm saying?
During the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're coming together for kirtan.
The Bhagavad Vidhi, we're talking about the Bhagavad Vidhi.
Okay, Bhagavad Vidhi, okay. But a grihastha, the grihastha element is not Bhagavad Vidhi. That's Varnashram Dharma. You know what I'm saying? It's engaged in the Bhagavad Vidhi, but it's not Bhagavad Vidhi itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so how do you integrate? How does
That's the whole point of this chapter. This understanding means Bhagavad Vidhi means it's directly connected with the Lord. So here's showing you how the Varnashram is connected to the Lord. So that operating properly, the Varnashram will free you from the material world. Does that make sense? It will free you from the material energy.
You know our community. So what do you think is missing there?
I would say just the art of application. It's just like this. They're saying, it means the question is coming, just if Dharma is there, how could everything else come? That question, doubt is there. Okay, let us say the husband doesn't know how to act in the various situations that are in the house. Is the wife going to be inspired? Are you going to see like really nice furnishings, decorations, nice food, pleasant interactions? No. If he knows what he's supposed to do in all situations and how to respond properly, then all that comes automatically. That's the point. If Dharma is there, Artha Kama come anyway. And if Dharma is performed in connection with the Lord, moksha comes automatically. That's why the focus is on Dharma and Bhakti. Because the other three will come. If your Dharma is focused at Bhakti, moksha is in the middle. And the side things from Dharma is Artha and Kama. They just come along with it. You know what I'm saying?
So how does one learn the art of application?
How does one learn it? I see. Well, that's a big question. I think generally once in a year only anybody ever asks. Like that. Actually, this year I think twice I've been asked. Because I'm always just talking and trying to convince people that this is what they should do, that if anybody ever asks...
You know, theoretically, we know what you're saying, you know, the balance is... Knowing the art and knowing how to apply it, but how do you?
I'm saying,
but
generally nobody ever says okay. the whole thing. I mean, one can study what is there in the Dharma Shastra. That's one of the elements. The other is just if you can. The essence is humility, tolerance, respect for others, not expecting anything back.
So, oh, purity of purpose.
Yeah, so if you can do all those four, practice those, the better you are at that, then the better everything else will run, even if you don't know all the technicalities of everything else. You know, just like a simple thing. Okay, I'm walking down the road, and the cow is on the road. So there's some respect for the cow. So if need be, I walk around the cow. You know, I may be the big Brahmin, the this, that, but you know, the cow is part of the equation now. There's me, there's this path, and there's a cow. So I take that as the sambandha, that's the field. Now, what would be now my idea is to get the other side of the cow. You know, so what would be the appropriate way? By, you know, pushing the cow out of the way? You know, I mean, it does weigh about 5 times more than me and has horns. You know? You know what I'm saying? So, what would be the appropriate way of dealing? So, if that's there, then one takes these into consideration. Does that make sense?
Yes, diplomacy.
Yeah, it's diplomacy, but it also just means means when you're dealing with generally with the art of the Dharma, then that's diplomacy. It has that element in it, because then it's how you would speak in that, you know. You know, it's like this. You would say, okay, husband is supportive of the wife, right? Wife puts on sari. You know, wife puts on sari 133. Right? And then she asked husband, oh, how do I look? In his mind, he's thinking, the last 2 times you've worn this, you look fabulous, and this time you also look fabulous, so why do I have to say you look fabulous again? You know, it's already understood, it's a fabulous sari, you look fabulous in it, you wear it fabulous, and everything's wonderful. But if he's supporting the wife, then he has to say, it looks great. And then, because he has, this is the 3rd time he's saying it looks great, he may not have the full, you know, life and exuberance that the wife is expecting, then to get, you know, so she only got 80%. So to squeeze that last 20%, she'll go, well, what do you think looks nice about it? You know, and then it's like some serious backpedaling is going on here. And well, the color, and so as long as he sincerely says it with the proper full emotions, then great, 100% is met, and smilingly they go out the door to the program. If it's not, you know, he only got in another 10%, 10% left. Oh, you really don't like it, you know? No, I really like it. I really like that. But you said before, you know, like this and that, and nobody worn so many times. Everybody has this one, and you know, all that, and like this, and then, and so then, in this way, so that's the application. Does that make sense?
Theoretically. I don't know how it works in real life, though. You know, I mean, you know the theory behind it, but then when it comes to action, it's...
Point is you have a result you want to get, so you have to make it work. Means the wife has to feel supported, so that means on all levels, right? Physically, emotionally, you know, economically, you know, politically, spiritually, she has to feel she's supported on all that, those platforms. So then, that was, you know, one of emotionally and politically.
So, in your opinion, what's missing in our society as far as Varnashram, the science and the application, or do we have anything?
No, it's there. It means your bulk is there, because basically devotees are following it to some form, the ashram part. Varna part, not necessarily. But of the two, it's the most important. You know, devotees will jump up and down and say Varna's first. So therefore, we have to establish growing of carrots. So that's okay. But the point is Varna's ashram's already in place. Unless that's there, you don't have a society. Because what Varna is a brahmachari? He's not. What Varna is a woman? She's not. But they're being trained to fit into that system. So they're already working within ashram.
It comes first
when you're considering what is the proper situation for someone to be in. You consider that, but the actual working is the ashram is the actual central point, because that's where the whole culture and everything is in the ashram. Varna adds something to that, means you, a grihastha meets another person, how they're supposed to interact with that person properly. That's etiquette. But now, according to what varna they're in, then there may be some slight adjustments to that. You know? Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
Right, there's a couple from Baltimore speaking about education today.
Uh-huh.
Speaking on Tuesday, I spoke to her.
Uh-huh.
So they have come out.
Okay.
She's not very well. She tried to get in some, just sit down, like there's a chair or something.
What do they want to speak about in the education?
We just wanted to ask some questions, but I asked some different questions about procedure and school. I also have some questions about worship.
Okay. I'm thinking for, is this just general concepts of education, or is specifically, what's the purpose that you want to gain from this?
I wanted to ask about, for him.
What I understood from your question is that he has two children now, and they have to find a good school, a Krishna conscious school.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also considering buying an apartment.
So what kind of school do you recommend?
Depends what you want. Okay, if it's that, then that's fairly straightforward. See, basically, that's actually available. You have two school systems here. One is what we're running, which is more kind of like traditional according to as how practically we can apply the Vedic principles.
Yeah.
And the education they get is in the Vedic topics, and the degrees they get are in the realms of Shastra. But it doesn't mean they learn modern education, but from on our terms, you know, on the Vedic terms, not on the modern terms. You know, in other words, math we learn from the Vedic system, English we learn from, you know, how you say, Sanskritizing it, you know, like turning it into a language rather than just something that people on the street use to communicate. You know. So then, that's there. The other system is in the international school. Their emphasis is on getting this 10th grade and 12th grade, internationally recognized degrees from Cambridge. Right? Cambridge University has systems for this, they call them A levels and O levels. And I think even think they're taking stuff down farther into primary and secondary, stuff like that. But so the purpose that they're into is to establish that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it depends what you want for the kid. If you want really strong modern academics, then that's the direction that you want the child to use in the future, you know, either in their livelihood or in their service or that, then that's would be the school. If you're more worried about the kind of like traditional cultural and Shastra kind of things, then this would be more the school. So or you can homeschool and, you know, like that.
It's also to see what's his inclination.
That's there.
He'd also told that you check the horoscope and see what the inclination of the child. Because if he doesn't have these inclinations, I would, why should you send him? But definitely I would like that he would get some nice training, and if he has that inclination of study Shastra, and definitely I would like to go to that. But yeah, I don't know. I also, because I wanted to ask you also, what is the requirement? Like, if you would see his horoscope and say, well, actually,
main thing is we're looking for is that means that they have the ability to learn knowledge, they have the ability to work with others, and they have respect for authority. like that, you know.
And that you can see.
Yeah, that's basically there. You know, usually if they have trouble with authority or not, or this or that. Because the more that's there, then the less they can gain. Because the authority will tell them something, but until they kind of work it out themselves in that, they won't do. So if they're more gentle in it, it won't create so much problem. If they're more active and if they're more introverted, it won't create so much problem. If they're more extroverted, it will.
And if the children, I mean, from which age to which age they would be?
Right now, we deal from 5. We don't have any systems below 5 at this point.
And the family has to live around.
Yeah, at least for the being. I would say if they're coming in at 5, then it's better that they would, because it may take you know, some years for the kid to actually be able to function on an ashram. At the same time, it's also sometimes just for the parents to be able to function.
Yeah.
1 second. Palaji, did you have something you wanted to say?
No.
Okay. Does that make sense? We don't have any chairs.
You don't have chairs.
Yeah, that's the difficulty. Otherwise, we would have gotten you a chair.
She has a back problem.
Yes, I don't know what to say.
He was very heavy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't block some upset.
There's one up in the go down. It's a coconut tree stump.
It's okay.
Drag that out.
It's more like knee.
Yeah.
And ties.
And then, generally, what's the concept?
You can try that. See, Bhagish is there. It's in the go down.
From their age of 5, they'll be here from their age of 5 up to their age of.
Well, generally, we graduate at 18, and then if they want to continue, they can go on to 25.
Yeah. So that's
because most kids want to feel they've completed something. So at 18, then they've completed actually the primary and secondary education. Then if they want to continue, then they're going on for more advanced education. Yeah. But then they're adults, so then it's voluntary.
So it's kind of considered as a brahmachari training from the age of 5 till the age of, even if they want to continue till the age of 25.
Probably say 5 to 25.
Yeah.
But that's if that works for them. Some you see make it to 25, some to just like 22, because the ego comes up at 22. So then it's like the best education is 9 to 10 and 19 to 21. Those are the most dynamic two periods. It means you can, education works in between, but those two are the most dynamic of any age.
And the concept of the goal of the teachers of the ashram is to train them. Then afterwards, when they're like, okay, let's say they are 22, 25, they get married. So then, how from there they progress? And like they have their sufficient education to continue study. Or
it depends what do you call sufficient study? Let us say you send your child to law school, right? Okay. Now, if he practices law, he has a life. But what happens if after law school he decides he wants to be a doctor?
Yeah.
Now can you, so would that question be put to the principal of the law school that, well, what's he going to do if he doesn't want to be a lawyer?
Yeah, of course.
You understand?
Yeah.
So the point is if in the line that you take that a grounding in the culture and the scripture is what will work, then is that going to work for you? Because the point is as a grihasta, okay, he's very expertly made, he has his degrees, he makes tons of money, but he doesn't actually know how to deal with his wife. So will he be a successful grihasta?
Yeah.
Okay. Or someone else knows perfectly how to deal with his wife but doesn't have much money. Now, if we put these two choices up, which would the women pick?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, of the two, that's the most important. So the culture is the most important.
Yeah, that we consider also is the most important.
You know, the point is that, you know, and other things, then, if they have the character, they can learn very quickly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you wanted to be a computer programmer, how long does it take to learn?
Yeah.
You didn't have to go through 12 years of primary and secondary education to become a computer programmer. You sit down and for 1 year, 2 years, and you're, you know, if you have the ability, you'll be a good nerd.
I guess I joined the Brahmacharya Ashram at the age of 21, and I married when I was 31. So I feel I want him definitely to. I think indeed if he gets that, then whatever comes.
See, the point is if the two of you have that faith, it'll work. If you don't, then, you know, then make a plan how you can get your cultural benefit or something from here, and then how you can get your academics somewhere else.
Yeah.
But not simultaneously.
No.
You know? Because they don't really, modern academics and cultural education don't match, because the modern academics takes too much energy out of the day, and then to, how you say, relax from that generally takes, you know, at least 3 hours of just doing nothing, like playing games or being completely crazy.
Yeah.
So that way then much of your day is gone. It doesn't leave any time really for serious sadhana or anything else.
And then, so let's say he continues maybe up to his 18 or something, or 22, 25, then what is to be expected from afterwards? To engage in more Brahminical activities, teaching?
Brahminical means Brahminical culture. The school trains Brahmin, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas.
Yeah.
But if you want a specialized area within the Shudra, that we don't have. You know, that we don't. Because Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas went to the Gurukul, and all they learned in the Gurukul was Shastra,
yeah,
and character. They didn't learn something else.
Yeah, of course.
Like that.
No, but I'm just asking what. Okay, so then.
So then he continues on in his life and whatever
he
wants.
His direction that he.
Yeah. If he wants, if he needs some further, if he wants to use some modern education, then he goes and does that. And then continues on. If he wants to, you know, function in the temple or in the community, then he does that.
In general, there's sometimes the feel that, okay, if they graduate, they may be behind on, of course.
See, he's behind on what? Now,
yeah.
What makes you behind? Okay. Now, you went to Karmi school, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And they basically generally make you, it's mandatory at least 12 years before you get into university. And in that 12 years, basically all you used in the university level was your language and some of your math. Right?
History, mundane history.
But even the mundane history, it depends on what topic you take. But language, basically, you have to know, you know, to communicate. But even then, how much you need to know. I mean, you know, you need to know Shakespeare or Chaucer, this or that, to write your essay for your undergraduate work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the actual what works in language is all you need to know. So that's technically what in university, if you come in, you're not necessarily, English isn't your main language. You go into an English university. It's called English 101. It's everything that they feel you need to know about English to function in that university, and they teach it in 6 months. Right? And I'm sure in 6 months you could teach the same amount of usefulness in math, probably even less time, you know, probably a couple of weeks. So why did they expect you to spend 12 years? So what skill did you actually get? You know? It's just like a kid comes out of high school, what's the skill? What they can do. So therefore, can you say, oh, it was a waste of 12 years, or said someone else? Why didn't then you should have sent him to a mechanic school or music school or something. Then he comes out at that 12th grade, he could get his degree in the New York Philharmonic, yeah. I mean, he could function there, or he could work down at the, you know, auto mechanic place. So what do you want from primary and secondary? Nowhere else in the world can they claim you can get a job from it.
Yeah.
If you don't need, it means, you know, they may have a requirement just because they're trying to give people that have degree jobs, so therefore you need, you know, you need to have a high school diploma to flip burgers at McDonald's. Okay. But that's only. But you don't. The skill that's required is. You know, you probably will learn on the football field from throwing the ball. You know, so when you flip the burger, you know, so, you know, like that.
Yeah, even we learn most of our things in ISKCON.
That's the point. So you have to have that faith. The thing is so. Now behind it, if you have the character, then you can learn anything. That's the point. Is if the character is there, anything can be learned. Now, if the character is not there, then why did it take 12 years to teach basically 1 year of education anyway? You know what I'm saying? Because character is not there. Otherwise, why would it take so long? If character is there, why should it take 12 years to teach how to write an essay? You know what I'm saying? It's not 12 years.
Yeah, like in India, we have to have a degree, and but we go for that job. We don't know anything about that job, and they just want the degree. And yeah. I was like, why did I do that? I would have, after 12th, you know, I would have some diploma.
Yeah.
But they don't teach in the school that you have to have all this thing.
Yeah.
And you just waste our time.
Yeah. So the thing is it's just a matter of, if you have faith that if you have character, you can get done whatever you want, then this school will work for you. But if you don't, then it won't work. Then it's a matter of a certain amount of time, but then whatever the time is, be committed to it. You know what I'm saying?
And what's expected from the parents?
To understand how the school functions, to have faith that the teachers actually know what they're doing, and the general advices that are given by the school on how to deal with the kids, or how the school's dealing with the kids, that's understood and followed. Yeah. You know, in other words, if there's a support between the teachers and the parents, then it's very strong. The kid can't, you know, it's just like, let's say in the house, the kid goes to the father, asks for something, he gets a no, then he goes to the mother, and then tries from that way.
Yeah.
So you want to avoid this between the school and the home, you know, that they use the same game.
Yeah.
Can I say something about the girls' school?
Oh, yeah, the girls' school.
That's best. I mean, that one, it's just general, but you'd have to talk to the Mataji who runs the place.
It's not a different department of the center.
It's own autonomous unit. You know, it's like it functions on its own. But it follows all the same education. The girls learn all the things that the boys learn.
This school?
Yeah. The girls learn all the same. Yeah.
Is there not more things on arts or something?
Means there's the prominence of it is it means no they take like they have 8 like classes a day. They actually do more than the boys do. Because girls are generally more focused than boys, like that. They have to be because they can't function in a vacuum. Boys can, girls can't. So they actually do more academics and more classes than the boys do. They do it for less time. But they do more. So, it means Prabhupada said cooking, cleaning, sewing, and then according to their individual ability, then academics. Because one may say, well, that's regressive, but if you look at it, okay, everybody on the planet has to eat. And ladies really like having relationships with people. They don't like to be alone. And if you have food, people are going to come. You know? You know what I'm saying? No good cook's home where they cook plenty of food and are hospitable ever has nobody in their house. Like that. So right there, they have a relationship with every living entity on the planet just by nature if they can cook nice. Automatic. While if they, you know, are a professional lady, then only in their little small world do they have relationships. And then with their own family, then they don't have relationships because they wouldn't know how to boil water without burning it, you know? So it's like, so that's there. Cleaning. If your house is not clean, the mind functions from the mode of goodness. It's created from the mode of goodness. Transformation of false ego, how you say, then in the mode of goodness creates the mind. So the mind is the seat of the emotions. So that's the nature of women. It's basically like the personification of a mind, right? So that means the cleaner the house, the better, more goodness there is. So the more peaceful the women are. So that means the environment in which they are is the mode of goodness. That way then they'll be the most peaceful, less argumentative, less dissatisfied, less all these things. All the things that drives everybody nuts around them that they do. So that's there. So if they can cook and clean, you know, and then all the arts that go along with that. Clean means you can keep things nice and, you know, colors and, you know, all those things. And cook means you know how to serve, you know how to eat, you know how to, you know, do all these things. All that goes together. You have a person that anybody will like, right? Any cultured person would marry them. Anybody else would like to be their friend. No one would mind working with them, right? So it's automatic success. You know, because otherwise, if they base it on anything else, because it's like this, you can still be greatly loved even though you weigh 200 kilos, but you're a fabulous cook and fabulous host. But, you know, your, 34 double D only lasts a certain amount of time as far as putting yourself on the top of the social pile. You know, at some point the wrinkles start and sagging starts and fat happens, you know, like that. And then if that's what you based your popularity on, then you're history. But if it's on being feminine, being, how you say, and good in these social arts, you'll have relationships until the day you die.
Well, I suppose somebody comes to this school and he gets the Brahmin middle training, but that's the culture. And at a certain point, his nature becomes prominent. Like he's like, supposedly, he's business oriented. So then, will the school guide him towards that further, or just then he has to, you know, say goodbye and find his own way?
No, it means within the school, it means we're working on it, but developing, you know, specifically more an economic focus or a administrative focus or, you know, puja and other kind of stuff like that focus. Because that's all there in the Vedic thing. It's all part of the Shastra. That's what he's saying. The Brahma, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, it's all complete in the Shastra. Like that. Then you have the art of application. That then you're going to have to practice. So the school may have that particular art, the practice may not. But the science behind it is there. Just like this, okay. You went to Harvard School of Business Management, okay, to work with Vaishyas, but did they ever teach you how to buy gems? But what does your wife wear? Mont Blanc pens and Halliburton suitcases and, you know, like that? Or does she wear diamonds and emeralds? And so how are you supposed to buy them? So that's one of the things that Vaishya has to know. And if you're going to buy them, why would you waste money? You have to know what's market price. How do you judge what's a good diamond? So that's one of the things he has to know. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many things that a Vaishya needs to know that they don't train, even in modern so-called Vaishya education. But you have a business degree, it's not a degree for Vaishyas, it's a degree for Shudras that work for Vaishyas. That's why I say, you have a specific Shudra degree that you want, because that's the area you want to go, we don't have it. So then it's a matter of you just come for character training for however many years, but focus and do that exclusively, then leave that and go do something else. Or do it first and then come here later when you're older. You know? But the two don't go so well together.
Is there a specific age in which like a Vaishya boy or a Kshatriya boy has to have this kind of year and then kind of graduate? Like the Brahmin can stay his whole lifetime basically here.
It depends. Most, you'll find a lot of Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, they tend to leave at 18. They would leave at 16, but you're not legal till you're 18, so you have 2 years you got to kind of tread water until. Or you spaced out before that and finally at 16, because you're actually an adult, you figure out what you're supposed to do and you actually start doing it.
And it's all year round?
The school runs, the boys' school runs all year. The girls' school then has a specific break. Because girls can handle being in the home and being at school. They're always day school, and they have days off and half days, and it works for them. Boys, it doesn't work like that. Because girls, being in a pleasant environment of, a pleasing environment, is natural for them, because that's what they are. You know, so it's just the external manifestation of themselves. So being at home is not, that's the way they think, they do this and that. But boys don't think home. They just think it's nice. And so they become distracted by it. So that's why generally we don't really, the school never closes in the boys. The girls there is a time, but the boys
are the boys are married at the age of five. Of course,
it means if they have to go out here or there for a visa or stuff like that, that happens. But we don't recommend at all extended length of time. So now we don't. Now it's like they come in as day students. Everyone comes in as day students, and as long as they need to stay as day students, they can stay. Before we had a 6-month cutoff. What we can see is that just with time, that either the students or the parents or both can't handle being a full-time ashram student. So those who come in as day students and remain that way, and then, you know, or turn into doctor, whatever. But as long as they came in first time as day students, then staying like that, they do fine. But if they ever became ashram and then went back to day students, then it seems to take about a year or so before them to actually get in the right headspace that they can again function properly. Like that, because they get too bewildered by the house.
Yeah.
Women aren't bewildered by the house because they are the house, right? You know what I'm saying?
They get a taste.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It means boys get in Maya, women don't get in Maya because they are Maya. So therefore, functioning in that environment for them is natural. So then they just take that and connect it to Krishna. You know. They just take themselves and engage in Krishna service. While the boys, they have to take themselves and the Maya of the house and then engage that Krishna service. So it's more of a distraction. Like that. So that's why then it's not. That's why we changed that policy. Otherwise, before we had only ashram, we didn't even have day. Then we started 6 months day, then the ashram. Still, that didn't work for most boys. So now we don't put a limit on how long their day students. Because sometimes the kid's fine, but the parent can't handle it. Yeah. Like, especially girls, we lose from that. You know, like that. If both parents are there, less. But if one parent is there, then it's very much depends on the parent. If the parent's more brahminical, then not so much problem. If they're not, then more problem. Because there's a lack of security. You know, Brahmins generally can take shelter of the sadhana and Krishna and this and that. They're women, so they need their support, but it's not as much. The other ones feel it's mine, I have to have it with me. So that they're going to the school, because we don't do this, you know, 6 hour school. They come at 6 in the morning, they go at, depends on the age, 4 or 5 in the evening. The boys come at 5:30 and go at 5:30. Boys, it's 12 hours every day. Well, girls, it's four days. It's 6 to 5, and one day off, and then the other days, one day 6 to 3, and another day 9:30 to 3. That seems to work. And there's a nice balance between the school that still works, and then the parents feel that they're at home. Because the mothers ultimately, they want to have control over the son, but at the same time, it's a different species. You don't quite have the same inroads. But for the girls, they're the same species, so it's a complete. So many of them can't handle that. You know, and the mothers need to feel that she is the one, you know, like that. And so then when a new relationship comes out with the teachers and that becomes quite prominent, then many, many mothers we've seen become actually emotionally unstable in that, and they can't function in that. So then they'll give other reasons, but then they'll pull the kids out of the school. Because they just want them at home.
If the children are full-time, the boys are full-time in the ashram, what is the relation between job in the parent.
Whatever it was the day you moved into the school.
The contact or the...
No, I'm saying it's whatever it was the day you moved into the school. You know what I'm saying? It means, in this question, that question wasn't a man's question, that was your wife's question. You understand? Let us say you have a friend. Good friend. And you see him off at some point. The tone of voice, the depth and intimacy is at one point. You see him after 3 to 5 years. From the moment you see him, it starts exactly where it left off. Same tone of voice, same conversation, same everything. There's no gap. Men, it doesn't, by distance or time, it does not go down. But for women, all you need is a phone call or you went to the bathroom and came back, and the mood is reset back to zero. And then you have to bring it from zero to wherever it was. It may be able to do it in a few seconds. That's if you do it right. You say the wrong word or the wrong thing, it doesn't go back to where it was. So that question is a woman's question. No man needs to ask that question because it doesn't change. But women are always worried that if there's not constant touch, constant associate, constant nourishment, there is no relationship because they're dependent. So dependency always is afraid of insecurity, being disconnected. Because then, if you're dependent, you're disconnected, you have no existence. That's the nature of energy. So they always feel that because I'm like that, my kids are like that. Without me, they can't function. So unless I'm constantly cultivating, then my relationship with them will disappear. But that's their own fear. It's not a fear for the child. Because the point is if the child is developing respect for authority, and that, then why it won't be good with, because authority is a concept, so why won't it become better with the parents? If it becomes better with the teacher, it will become automatically better with the parents. Does that make sense?
Is it only the cause of the parents that the day school started here? Instead of Ashram?
Next question. In the Vedic, you go to the school, you don't go home for 12 years. Your parents can visit you at the school, but there's no question that you would ever go home for 12 years.
So that's
the Vedic standard. You can have a day school, but then when they're under the teacher, it is under the teacher. The parents have no inroads into that, don't have anything to say, nothing. Because it's the teacher's thing. It's just like you give your car to the car mechanic. He fixes it. You don't go and, well, what about this? And are you going to take that screw out? And, you know, why are you using your wrench like this? It's kind of like, you know, you come back, you know, tomorrow when I have got your car fixed.
Well, you're basically handing over.
You're handing over. If you can't do that, then it will all, to that degree, you can't do that. To that degree, there's problems. Even as a day student. That's why you made day, because then the parents have that time in the day, they can interact and all that. But the difficulty is the more the kids develop, the better they are, the nicer they are, then the more the parents want to take advantage of that pleasantness. Is it like this? The kid comes up, and by the time he hits 11, his relationship with the mother starts to wane, because his friends and others become more important. The girl it doesn't, but the boys it does. It's gone anyway. And so they can't. So then they come into the school, you train them, they learn respect for authority, so they start dealing nicely with their mother. So that's so great and such a relief for her. She just wants more of that. It's just the nature of the women. And so then she'll try the best to get more of it. And then she gets more of it, then it just starts to drop off. And then they can't figure out why. It can't be her, because she's the whole cause of the life and everything for a child. It has to be someone else. Right? Husband's hers, so unless it's a bad relationship, then whatever's yours, you have to support. So that means it must be the school. But they can't understand, no, it's that time. From 11 through at least 17, says women don't have entrance into how to train boys. Only men can make boys into men. Women can't do it. They can inspire it by saying that, you know, they don't want a punk kid, you know, they want a man. Then the guy gets serious. So they can inspire, but they can't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. So if that's understood, then you're given the space. So the parents are supposed to check. Okay, then one could say, can the school do that? That's what the parents have to check. If they're convinced that this school can do this, then put your kid in. And then let the teachers do the job. If you're not convinced, then better not to put. Because it'll only be trouble.
It's like when you go to take initiation from a spiritual master, the etiquette is that you, like on certain criteria in the books, like what is a pure devotee, you check that out. There's a certain way for this, for the parents to also have a reference for the.
Well, look at other students. What are the other students from this particular school doing? Are the kids that are in the school, do they like it? Like that. Do they see result? Or is there any difference? Talk to the other parents. You know, of course, you got to judge whether the other parent, you know, is someone that has a similar nature of you. They may have a completely different value system, so it may be same, may be different, you know. You know, check. Like that. See the curriculum. What do they learn? You know, are the kids learning it? You see the parents, I mean, the teacher's attitudes, all these kind of things. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want more detail, then we could talk with the... Where do you stay?
I'm staying in the youth home.
And where do you stay?
I'm staying in Chakrapur.
Oh, okay. But otherwise, it means if you want to go on a walk sometime, you go with him, he can take you over and show you where the girls' school is. Then you can just go in there and make an appointment.
What is the other boys' school? What are they doing there?
The other that they're part of the international school, so they are how you say doing that Cambridge curriculum, but they stay there. In other words, you could say it's a boarding school, but it's a devotional boarding school, but a boarding school. That's why they dropped Gurukul. That was the Bhaktivedanta Gurukul village, but they dropped that for international, the Mayapur International School. Because they're a school. Vrindavan also dropped it. They're a school. They're not a gurukul. Because they're emphasis.
It's a gurukul.
Yeah. You know, so they chant, you know, they go to the temple program, you know, this and that, but their whole focus is on their academics. They have to if you really want to do well in the Cambridge, you know, because it's a well-recognized standard degree, so you need to work hard at it. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, you mentioned that this is something a little separate. You mentioned the women are Maya. What are the men there in the connection? They can sit
in Maya.
Is it talking about they are in Maya?
No, it means we're just talking about mundane. They're under control of Maya.
Yes, I understand, but it seems that for a woman it's more easy to go back to God than it's just simply connect themselves to Krishna. That's it.
That's because they connect their attachment. But the problem is intelligence element is always intelligence always connected to the mind. So unless they can make a positive emotional connection with something else, they can't transfer it. So if they can transfer all their emotional attachment over to Krishna, bingo, it's done. No intellectual, you know, logical, you know, gymnastics. It's just done, like the gopis. But if they can't do that, then all these things end up as anartas because intellectually they can't break them down and work it out. That's what they need the men for.
The Prabhupada said that make Krishna your husband.
Yeah, that's best. I mean, who else does a great job? Mm-hmm. He's always there, right? Husbands go away, you know. Krishna doesn't, right? You know. You know. So that's what Rukmini said. You know, once you know Krishna, who would make anyone but Krishna her husband anyway? You know, like that. That's like. But since I guess he's not available, then the lady's got to go for second best. You know. So. That, you know, so that's where the husband has to represent. So that's where he has to act like. Meaning he has to act male. So male means he, for rasa, reciprocates with the woman. So it appears he's in Maya. but in Tattva he's independent.
That's more difficult because to us Krishna is supposed to be like a woman serving a husband, and for the wife he's supposed to be a man, like acting like Krishna.
That's why it's awesome. That's why if you can do it, that's why it's the senior position. A woman just has to be a woman. No one's complaining that she is. Right? That's why it always uses he. Right? Because that's the element you have to deal with. His false ego, his this, his that. No one's saying that the women aren't going to have false ego, they should get rid of it. They just have to transfer that ego to that connection to Krishna.
That's the reason why women cannot punish you
all. No. is not punished.
I think it was very clear.
Yeah. Is they're just going to act?
Yeah.
Because it's mind. Accept, reject. That's it.
She was asking
about that. We should do it another time. Because today is kind of gone. I have some other people to talk to. Okay. We could try. You can try again tomorrow after the class.
Same.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you. But you should show them that the other school, and they can make an appointment with that.
We can know more about
Guru.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I had a question from class.
It's just when you say something would say that it's no Sanskrit word for Ashram. Is there anyway?
There is. There's Sanatan Dharma that people don't connect. They want to date it, like that. So
is it that
the Varnashram Dharma, the Varnashram Dharma is a Sanskrit word.
Yeah. Vedic culture.
Yeah, but Vedic culture, then they don't say. So Sanskriti is there, Sanatan Dharma is there, but they won't connect those. They have to have,
So, do you know when something is a constant, it's already taken for granted because it is there, it's like the base.
Why would everybody in India talk about it? Why would Prabhupada talk about it if it wasn't?
No. What I mean is, because Vedic culture is something that is just innately there, if you're just following from the heart, it's just natural. Mm-hmm. So because something is natural, people don't need to talk about it because it's just taken that it's a standard anyway.
It is. It's just that Prabhupada's used Vedic, meaning that it's based on the Vedas. Mm. Right? So it's a very generic term. You can say it's Vedic like that because that will be used. But you say Vedic culture means the lifestyle of those who practice Vedic. But the word, Vedic culture may not be found in the Bhagavatam, that's all. But it's understood that someone studying the Bhagavatam has already understood that. It's postgraduate study, so that's for other books to describe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Sorry,
it's okay.